Why should we sing praises to the Lord? You know, we do that, praise and worship. I love praise and worship during a worship service. I love the old hymns, and I love music in general. It's just wonderful. So Christians should sing to God. And there's many reasons why we should sing to God. A couple of reasons is songs teach us the wonderful truth about God and salvation. Songs help us to remember salvation. Songs help us to remember to put a Bible verse to music. A lot of the music, especially the praise and worship music, is scripture music. And you'll find yourself remembering them better. You know, the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms were meant to be sung. And so the psalmist would sing them. And then we take some of the ones now and they put them in. They kind of pull out a couple little things and they make praise and worship songs out of them. And then what's beautiful about that, you remember the words and the psalm. Psychologists tell us that singing is also good for our emotional health. King David helped Saul when Saul had some emotional problems. If you remember, Saul would call David and bring his harp and sing with the string instrument. So when we sing together, we express our unity as God's people. Amen. But there's another important reason to sing. What's that, Robbie? God tells us to do so from the very first verse. Let the distant shores rejoice and praise his holy name. Psalm 97 calls us to be glad and to rejoice and worship and praise. Verses 1 through 5 paint a glorious, terrifying picture of God who is worthy of all praise. The psalmist uses images that reminds us of Israel's days in the wilderness, where God shows his presence by a cloud and a pillar of fire, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And that cloud both reveals and hides God. So when the cloud came, Israel knew that God was in their midst. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But this cloud hid God from them, protecting the people from a lethal dose of God's glory. Yeah, fire symbolizes God's judgment on his enemies, verse 3 in Psalm 97. But besides the cloud and the fire, the psalmist also uses lightning to describe God's frightening presence. I don't know about you, but lightning still scares me. Even though sometimes you know it's coming, at least you prepare. You hear the rumbling of the thunder, and then whacko, there's a lightning bolt. But I digress. At Mount Sinai, Israel experienced God in lightning and thunder, and everyone in the camp trembled. You can find that in Exodus 19, verse 16. So, the awesome presence of God, that even in the mountains are symbols of immovable strength. And the scripture says in verse 5, and it'll melt like wax before the Lord. Repeatedly, we have seen in the Psalms as we've been doing this journey that one of God's expressions of glory is his judgment on the wicked. Promoting righteousness and justice through salvation and judgment is so central to God and his work that the psalmist portrays them as the foundation of his throne in verse 2. Verses 6 through 9, the psalmist calls on all things to worship God, from the heavens above and all the peoples of the earth, to the false gods and the spiritual powers that lie behind them. You can find some of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 through 20, and also his own people in the villages of Judah. And the psalmist closes by addressing righteous, the faithful followers of the Lord. He exhorts us to hate evil. For John reminds us, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. John chapter 2, verse 15. So, finally, the psalmist rejoices in God's blessing on his people. We are his people. He guards us and protects us. And then he shines his light on them, driving out the darkness and fear. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. And it was all the way back. Now, they weren't sure about Jesus at that time, but they did know about the light and the dark. And they knew that light was good. And he fills their hearts with joy. And the only appropriate response is to rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous. Now, I don't know too many, but a non-singing Christian or a non-singing church, maybe there are some, I don't know. It's a contradiction. Certainly, there is more to praise and worship than singing songs, but it is not less than that. To be a Christian is to sing. Hallelujah, we sing to the Lord. What a joy it is to have that wonderful voice. You know, I don't carry a tune too well, unless I'm carrying it in a cassette recorder, but I like to make a joyful noise. And I think when God hears Ralphie sing, he hears a wonderful sound. I always think about it as I stand in the pulpit, especially here at Bethel, the way the acoustics are in this church, and we don't have that many in worship anymore, but that's another story for another day. But as I stand in the pulpit and I hear the congregants sing, it sounds like you got a whole church full of singers. It's wonderful. It's just hard to explain. So think about this. Why do you think we as Christians like to sing, especially in church? I think it's a safe place. At one time when I first started turning my life around and I would not sing, I would just stand there and maybe mouth and different things. And then when I started to sing, people used to turn around and see who was behind them. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to sing. But I said, I'm going to sing out to the Lord. So now I think over and over the years, I think my singing has got a little bit better. I'm not ready for a recording contract, but I do think I make a joyful noise better than I used to through God's grace. So let us all reflect on the term used to describe God's people, especially in the Psalms. In Psalm 97, those who love the Lord, faithful ones, upright in heart, righteous. So what do we do with these expressions? We tell others about the character of a Christian. What is the character of a Christian? It is somebody who is a Christ follower. And how do you find out what that character is? You read the Bible. You read the Word of God. Especially the red letter editions, which is attributed to the words of Jesus. It's just really, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, we are getting close to Psalm 100, and next week we'll look at Psalm 98. But in the meantime, we're grateful that you tune in to the Word. The Word is Jesus, manifested in the flesh, and came and dwelt among us. He is showing us the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. So thank you for tuning in to my thoughts and also Scripture that says the Word is the way to life and the Word is Jesus. Hope and pray you have Him in your heart. Let Him teach you through the gift of the Holy Spirit and share the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You are to be good evangelists, and that's what you got to do. Share the love of God with others, and I can assure you, not only will they be blessed, but you'll be blessed in turn. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you next week.